Son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Back to Proverbs chapter 22. Begin the reading with verse 17 and read a few verses here. 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer to him who sent you? Remain standing for a word of prayer, please. Almighty God, again we beg that you would have mercy upon us, we might hear your voice and understand and act upon the truth that is here. We beg, O Father, that you would send forth your word with clarity and with the power of your Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to give us the mind of Christ, to enable us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called, to place upon our hearts and upon our lips the word of truth which is able to save our souls, and that gospel which is the power that you have ordained in the salvation of a lost world. May it be with us, O Father. May it be our meditation day and night. May it be upon our lips as a testimony to this sovereign greatness of your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things that is happening to me as I watch my children go through their education, particularly their college education, I have this recurring thought. Why didn't I have their perspective when I was going through school? And then followed by that, I say, why is it that education has to be wasted on the young and ignorant? You know, if I only had it to do over again, knowing what I know now, I think I would really profit a whole lot more than I did at the time. As I look back and I see the things that my children are learning and are profiting from, I do have a very real sense of regret, saying, why in the world did I waste my time doing the things that I did? and neglect doing the things that I should have done. So children, you who are in school, I know it's a grind. These are valuable days for you, though. I would encourage you to make the most of the time, because where you are and the opportunities that are before you are great. Don't let them slip by. But as I think about that, I think how much worse it is to think about standing at the end of my life and looking back over that to consider the opportunities wasted because of the failure to use the opportunities that God has given. Among them are education, formal education, if you will. But also, in light of these words, the instruction of a loving father to his children, particularly our Heavenly Father to his children. And it is out of this concern, I think, that the Lord pleads with us, his children, to evaluate anew the way we handle his instruction. And there was a sense in which my parents urged me to take better advantage of the college experience. When I didn't listen to them. There's a sense in which I certainly do not listen to my Heavenly Father either. But listen to the words again. Listen to your father. I'm sorry, back to 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer to him who sent you? And I want to give attention to this instruction of a father to his children, of Solomon certainly, but also because it is the word of God, of our Father's words to us. And I want you, first of all, to hear your Lord's words as to how you're to handle his word, how you are to handle it. We hear it all the time. You younger children have the privilege of hearing the word of God, I trust, day by day in your homes. As you are here at this church, you have the privilege of hearing it week after week as it is read from the pulpit, and as it is preached, as it is taught to you in the Sunday school. And I suspect sometimes that it just seems to get old, and sometimes it appears to be rather boring, and you wish you could get on with things. And that is the way I felt as well. But I want you to hear the instruction of your Heavenly Father as to how you ought to handle the Word of God every time you hear it. You older children, that's all of us, you hear how you are to handle it. It's nothing new. There's nothing earth-shaking. There's no new ground that is being opened up here, that is being plowed here. We're simply taking an old theme and we're reminding you of your responsibilities. But first of all, as we read in this 17th verse, when you hear the Word of God, when you listen to the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, you are to dispose yourself to listen to it. It seems rather simple, doesn't it? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Now, you may think that that's rather simple to do. As we talked about this morning, we are not naturally inclined to hear the Word of God. It takes an act of the will. It is a responsibility that you have, for you see, you can be in the presence of the hearing of the Word of God, and you can even read it day by day in a kind of external discipline, but unless you are inclined and disposed to listen to it, you won't profit from it. And I think there are a couple of ways which we are to dispose ourselves to listen to it. And remember, what we're talking about here is we are talking about putting ourselves in the way of hearing that we might profit from the Word of God. And there's, first of all, to dispose ourselves to hear by way of an inner discipline. And that's what I've been speaking about. I'm going to say something that may seem rather shocking to you, coming from a minister of the gospel. But I would say to you that even as a minister, or maybe especially as a minister, it is rarely pleasing to the senses and almost never convenient to hear the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying there? It is not always pleasant. Now, there are some times where it is a great delight. But there are other times when it is really, in a sense, a duty. And somehow it's never quite as convenient as it might be if my day were to run according to schedule. Now, when I'm in my regular schedule, I have a set time. But as I was telling my children this afternoon, or one of my children, you know, the time of vacation when you're out of your regular schedule is really the determination of how well you do in disposing yourself to hear the Word of God. Because it's never convenient when you're just left to the discretion of your own timing to hear the Word of God. So what do? You must have that inner discipline that disposes you to listen to and to go to the Word of God that you might hear it. I believe that's what Solomon is telling us here. Incline your ear to the words of the wise. How do you do that? Well, there are several things I think you can do. First of all, remind yourself of your need to hear the Word of God. Remind yourself of that. You're all aware of it. You all can intellectually speak to your need to hear the Word of God. We sang a hymn this evening that talked about our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Susan selected the hymn. I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. Well, that's true. And we need to remind ourselves of our need to hear. What will we do if we do not hear the voice of God? Well, we will have the worldly mind, as we spoke of this morning. If we don't listen to the Word of God, we will go into that darkness from which it is difficult, if not impossible, to recover. Remind yourself of that need to hear the Word of God, that you're but a little child and you need the instruction of your Father. Also, remind yourself of the glory of the process of hearing. You know, one of the reasons why hearing the Word of God is not always that pleasant to us is we tend to forget the nature of what it is that we're doing. But when we hear the Word of God, we are really practicing, as it were, and enjoying the biblical truth of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, there is the spiritual presence, the Spirit of God within us, but how is it the Spirit of God speaks to you and to me? Let me tell you how He speaks. He speaks by the hearing of the Word of God. And when I stop to think about it, it never ceases to amaze me. But any time and any place, I can sit down and open up the Word of God, and God speaks to me directly. Now, that's a glorious thing, to stop to think that your God speaks to you directly. If you would incline your ear to hear the teachings of the wise, if you would incline your ear to hear the Word of God, remember the glory of what it is that you're about, that you're sitting in the presence of God, you're sitting at His feet and hearing His voice, the very Word of God. What a glorious thing. And thirdly, remind yourself of the glory of what it is that you hear. You see, what the Lord has spoken to us in His Word, you cannot understand. You do not have access to it in any other way. When many of the disciples stopped following the Lord Jesus Christ, He turned to those who remained, the 12, and He said, "Are you going to leave me also?" And Peter responded with what ought to be our attitude as well, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The very matter of that which God speaks to us, about which God speaks to us, is a glorious thing. You cannot ever have any access to the truth of God and the will of God in any other fashion than by hearing the Word of God. I remember when I was growing up, that there would be these little clubs, you know, and you had the secret password. And to be on the inside, you wanted to be in on the secret. Of course, it wouldn't be a secret very long if everybody heard it. The great thing about the Word of God is it's no secret. But there is a sense in which God brings us into His counsel and tells us things by His Word that are certainly available to everybody else, but are not known in any other fashion. He takes us into His confidence and tells us the matters close to his heart. So by way of inner discipline, ask yourself these questions. And children, as you do so, and adults as you do so, as we begin the new year, and you, I hope you'll begin some type of regular Bible reading program, whether it's through the Bible in a year or just your own devotions, the more in-depth study, whatever you do. But remind yourself of these things. Dispose yourselves, discipline yourselves to hear the Word of God inwardly. But then, by way of outward action as well. Not just by inner discipline, but you could say by outward discipline as well, outward action, because all plans need to be executed. And I would tell you that you need, in order to do this, to plan to hear the Word of God. Because it is not always convenient, you need to make the hearing of the Word of God as much of a priority as eating your meals or getting your sleep, of getting to work or whatever it is. It has to be as much of a priority. If you do not plan to hear the Word of God, you will not. One of the reasons that God has given us one day in seven is He said, I'm going to make your planning real easy. I'm going to set one day aside when you don't do anything except to focus your attention upon me, to worship me, to hear of me, to sing my praises. That's what you're going to do. You're going to delight yourself in me one day out of the week. Well, in order to properly observe the Lord's Day, you have to plan to do it. And the same way, in your daily disciplines, you need to make your plans. If something comes up to disrupt your regular schedule, sit down, and if it takes you what it takes me, this is one of the handiest little things that I've used. It's a day timer. I just put down the things that I'm going to do. And guess what happens if I say, I'm going to remember it, I'll do it, but I don't write it down? Guess what gets forgotten? The thing that I don't write down. The things that I write down that I plan to do get done. So you need to plan to hear the Word of God. This is the outward thing that you do. You execute your plans to hear God's Word. You do what you say you're going to do. And then you evaluate your success in hearing God's Word. You make yourself accountable to yourself, or make yourself accountable to your family or to a friend, and say, this is what I want to do. You evaluate me, ask me, and ask yourself, have I been faithful? I asked you some time ago that you would pray for me about my reminding my children to have their devotions regularly. Well, it's been kind of hit or miss. I've been better about it than I have been. But you see, I think that by my asking them, I will be helping them out, that they may be disposed to listen to the Word of God. So you're to dispose yourself to listen to it. Secondly, you're to apply yourself to understand it. Verse 17 again, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. Apply your mind to my knowledge. You're to apply yourself to understand it. And in this regard, I would say to you, do nothing to diminish your understanding and do everything to enhance it. What do I mean by that? Well, with regard to your hearing of the Word of God, I would say to you that you establish your time for the reading of the Word of God and for your devotions. You put them at the time where you are the most alert. Worst time in the world, for me, is just before bedtime. Because I don't go to bed until I'm so desperately tired that I'm not going to make it any farther. On the other hand, I'm not naturally a morning person, although I do find myself, once I'm up, if I do something in between, I can't just roll out of the sack and immediately go to the Word of God, because I find that I may not be in bed, but I found myself sleeping as I read that way. But if I get outside and let the brisk air hit me, or if I do some exercises or actually get out and see something, but I found that the morning is the best. But the timing is important. So don't read the Word of God on a warm afternoon right after lunch. Give God your best time. If it's first thing in the morning, fine. If it's in the evening, first thing when you get home, or if you're one of those people that's alert at night, late, fine. But timing is important. Posture. I'm always on my children. I don't understand how they can study with a book propped up on them, lying down in a horizontal position. I know what happens to me. The book ends up over my face. And if there's any studying that gets done, it's by osmosis through the pages. Posture is important. Sit up. Pay attention. And sometimes it's just a matter of mental discipline. Do you know I can sit even in my office over here, knowing that I am to... And sometimes I look at the Word of God and I know there's a great truth there, but I'm going to have to dig for it like for silver and gold. And I say, you know, I just don't have the mental energy to want to dig at this, and so I'll just fritter away my time nibbling around the edges. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, okay, let's deal with it, let's dig in, let's look up the verses, let's study the original languages, let's do whatever it takes to get the nuggets out of this passage. Don't do anything to diminish your understanding. And likewise, when you're here in the preaching of the Word of God, I try to make it as clear as I can. But you know something? There's no pastor anywhere, and I'm certainly not among the better preachers, but there's no pastor anywhere that can make all the applications that are necessary to everyone in the congregation. You think I preach long now? Let me start making application to everybody individually. We'll have a 40-minute sermon for each one of you. We'll never go home. And then I'll have a couple of hours on myself. So what do you have to do? You don't expect simply to have everything set out, but you need to plan to chew a little yourselves, to apply mental discipline in the hearing of the Word of God when it's preached. Let it remind you of things in your own life. As you're taking your notes, jot down things that you think of concrete that you can do to put into practice the Word of God. What are you going to do differently, children and adults, this week to incline your ear to hear the Word of God? Or what are you going to reinforce? You see, that's the kind of thing that you ought to be thinking about. Thirdly, you're to prepare yourself to relate it. You see, you go down a little bit further in verse 18 and you read that they may be ready on your lips. And in verse 21, that you may correctly answer to him who sent you. You're to prepare yourself to relate it. One of the things that you see is that while the Word of God is profitable for us, oftentimes the best way that we can really learn the truth of God's Word is to prepare ourselves to explain it to somebody else. To share the truth, to tell the truth that we have learned to somebody else. Sometimes we're sitting around at devotions and we ask our children, whether we're asking about a doctrine, do you know what this passage of Scripture teaches? And they say, yes. I said, well, tell me what it is. And they say, well, it's too hard to explain. I know what it is, but I can't explain it to you. No. You don't understand. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it. Well, so they struggle with it. And in the process of trying to explain it, then they learn something of what they know, or at least what they don't know. So you're to prepare yourself to relate it. You ought to so read the Word of God that you can bring it back to relate it to yourself. You know, as we think of the prodigal son, it says in the Scriptures that he came to himself and basically talked to himself, and he reminded himself of all the things that were his when he was in his father's house. Basically what he's doing is he was remembering the teachings of his father and the blessings of his father. He was relating to himself the truth that was there, but he had to come back to himself. And you go through Scriptures and you wonder how it is that men of God were able to stand fast in the midst of great pressures. You want to know how? They had so lived in the Word of God they were able to relate to themselves and to bring back to their own minds and to fortify their hearts with the Word of truth. And we're to be able to speak to others and even to God Himself. One of the great disciplines that I have not developed, but I trust that God will enable me, was to be able to sit down and to rehearse God's Word back to Him in praise and prayer. I was speaking with somebody this morning about the difficulties of praising God and adoring God in prayer. And you want to know the reason that I have such trouble in the praise of God in my prayers? Because I don't know Him very well. That's why. And yet, if you go back and if you begin to read the Word of God, particularly the Psalms, and see the praises that are there, what a great way to praise God with His own words, where He reveals Himself. That's how we hide it in our hearts. I've read the Psalms a lot. But it's very difficult for me to have them so in my heart that I can recite those things back to him in his words. So hear the Lord's words as to how to handle his word. Dispose yourself to listen to it. Apply yourself to understand it. Prepare yourself to relate it. But also, if you're going to do things properly, you ought to delight in the benefits of the proper handling of God's word. Notice the benefits that are given to you in verse 18, "For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you." I think there are a couple of things here that we can see in this passage. It says, "Incline your ear to hear the words and apply your mind, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you." I think one of the things that you will find is that as you do so, you will learn to delight in the Lord your God. You see, we want to delight in the Lord before we hear him. We want to be motivated by that pleasure in God before we hear him. And God says just the opposite. If you want to delight yourself in me, listen to me. It's kind of like in Isaiah chapter 58. If you'll turn there, this is a passage having to do with the Sabbath. It's a great, great passage, and I think it has application here as well. You've heard it before. I have preached upon this passage. But you see, we want to honor the Lord's day when it's pleasant for us to do it, and God says, no, it's just the opposite. Verse 13 of Isaiah 58. "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Don't look for the emotional joy of walking with the Lord without using the means of grace that he's given. It's through the use of the means that you learn to delight in the Lord and find the value of the means. God wants us to hear him that we might delight in him. "And having done that, then you will enjoy spiritual pleasures which cannot be experienced in any other fashion." It's interesting that he uses the word here, "then it will be pleasant if you keep them within you." Then it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. I'm reminded of the psalm that says, "In his presence are pleasures forevermore." In the presence of God are pleasures forevermore. Have you ever stopped to think how contrary that is to worldly thought, as we spoke of this morning? Such a notion that religion, the Christian faith, could be a pleasure seems like such nonsense to the world. And I must confess to you that in my early Christian life, I said, I just don't see how it's duty, I can see how it's useful, but pleasant? You've got to be kidding me! Well, let me tell you something. That is a notion that comes from little experiential knowledge of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is very little. In fact, I cannot think of anything that I enjoy more than spiritual discussions with you. The great times that we have had together as a family, the great times that we've had together in one-on-one discussion, discovering the word of truth, what a tremendous blessing that is. It's a great thing. And you see, these pleasures, unlike the pleasures of the world, are quite different. These pleasures are lasting. The pleasures which the world has to offer are fleeting and diminishing. It's interesting also that these pleasures also are satisfying and they're life-giving. The fruit of heart religion is the tree of life. Notice back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. speaking of wisdom, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The tree of life was the symbol of that blessedness which Adam enjoyed before the fall, of paradise itself. And we see in the book of Revelation that in the eternity that lies before us, we have access once again to the tree of life. And guess what? In this life, you have access to the tree of life in the Word of God. Pleasures which cannot be experienced in any other fashion. Jeremiah said, "Thy word was sweet unto me, and I ate it." Now you see, that's what God wants us to have. The taste of heart religion is sweeter than that of honey. The third thing that I want to point out to you, and if you're going to prosper from the reading of the word, you need to handle it properly. You need to delight in the benefits of the proper handling, and in doing so, then you will secure God's purpose for you in hearing His word. And you need to make it your purpose to secure God's purpose. Notice in verse 19, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have taught you today, even you." And down in verse 21, "To make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer to Him who sent you." Two purposes that are really joined very closely together. God has given you His word and would have you to incline your ear to it, that you might secure His purpose to know and experience the veracity of His word and of His person, the truthfulness of His word and His faithfulness. I neglected to look this down. In fact, as I look at my notes here, I didn't pay close enough attention as I was reviewing it. I have written down here, it's in the Psalms, and I have in parenthesis here, "Find the reference," and I didn't. So it's in the King James. He's not translated that way in the New American Standard. But he tells us, "I will exalt my word above my name." What a tremendous concept. Why? That we might know and experience truthfulness of His word and person. Learn the infallible truth of the Word of God. You know, every fiber of your being may cry out within you, "This can't be right." But it doesn't matter. God's word abides forever. He is right. His word is true. And as I have become accustomed to pray, it is a great truth of my life and of anybody who walks with the Lord. I can say this beyond any shadow of a doubt, and I'm not all that old, but I will say this in all of my life's experience. When I have trusted in the Lord, when I have taken Him at His word and acted upon that in faith, I have never been disappointed. Never. But I will also say this, when I have failed to take God at His word, when I have thought somehow that His word was unreliable and have gone my own way, I have always regretted it. God is true. I am not. Learn the infallible truth of God's word. He's written these things to make us know the certainty of the words of truth. Now, your faith may be small. You may tremble. But you learn to trust. There's a great little phrase that I found in Charles Bridges' Exposition of Proverbs. Speaking of the difficulty that we have in trusting in the Lord, he says this about this verse: "There may be a shaking in the exercise, but not in the foundation of our confidence." Now let me say it again. There may be a shaking in the exercise, but not in the foundation of our confidence. In other words, the Word of God is the basis of your confidence. You can be sure and certain of the truth of God's Word. Now, in exercising that confidence, you may get a little shaky. You may be a little bit uncertain. But the uncertainty is in your laying hold of it, not in the foundation of it. It's kind of like that man who asked the Lord to heal his daughter. And he just had to say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I know your word is true, but I'm real shaky in my apprehension of that." Learn to trust it, because it is only when you come to trust the word of God that you really fulfill God's purpose for you. And that is the second thing. Learn to trust the infallible truth of God's word, for in doing so, you will learn to trust the infinitely faithful God. There's no other way to trust Him than to trust His word. All the confessions of faith in God, if they are not demonstrated by a believing of His word and acting accordingly, is just blowing smoke. It's whistling in the dark. My dad were to take me by the hand when I was a youngster. Let me use another child. I won't tell you which one it is. I have one child who has a fear of heights. We were camping together one time, and we were going across a rather narrow ledge, and I insisted that this younger child come with me, and he was afraid to do so. And I said, "Look, we can do it." Now, I didn't say it in so many words, but what would have happened if I said, "Okay, I want you to trust me. I will hold on to you, and I will bring you to the other side." And he would have said, "I trust you, Daddy, but I'm not going a step further." See, he wouldn't really trust me. By the way, the good story of that turnout is that he did go ahead, and he's conquered a lot of those fears. But what I'm saying here is that he had to trust my word. The only way that he could trust me was to take my word and to do as I told him to do. And if he didn't, was the demonstration that he really didn't trust me. Well, that's the way it is with the Lord. Another quotation from Bridges on this. He says, "To delay, therefore, the obedience of faith until we shall have solved all the 10,000 objections of a proud infidelity is to waste the urgent responsibilities of the present moment in an unwarranted expectation of light which was never intended to be given." Now, to paraphrase that, if I may, you may not understand everything that there is to understand. You may not understand everything that works. You may not be able to answer every question that comes to you. But to waste your time to obey what you do understand of the Word of God until all of these other difficulties are solved is to expect a light that God never intended to give to you. You act on the present. You act on what you do know. "Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge that you may know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may trust in the Lord?" So secure God's purpose to know and experience the veracity of His word in person, and secure God's purpose for you to profess also His perfect word. Verse 21, the end of it says that you may correctly answer to Him who sent you. Verse 19 deals with what we talked about earlier with regard to trust, so that your trust may be in the Lord I have taught you today, even you. But also, he would have us not only to trust him, but to make him known. To profess his perfect word in witness at the present. Let me just look at a couple of portions with you briefly. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Trust in Him that you might be ready to give an answer to those who ask you. Malachi 2:7 says, "The priest's lips keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth as a messenger of the Lord of hosts." That's what we're to do, and witness in the present. But also, God's ultimate purpose is that you might stand complete in the final day and affirm the eternal truth of God's word and his eternal and infinite faithfulness. That we may be able to stand in the great day of judgment and confess with all of our being the truth of God's holy character and of his holy word. You may do so even now by employing the words of the Bible in your prayers and affirming with the holy amen from the heart the truth of God's word. But this is why he's written to us, that we might trust him and that we might make him known and confess that he is true even when all men are liars. May God give us the ability in this coming year to rightly handle the word of truth and as the foundation of our confidence is unshakable, so may our apprehension and our use of that ground of confidence become more so as we put on the whole armor of God and stand in the evil day. Let's pray together. Almighty God, with thanksgiving we come into your presence again this evening and pray that we might incline our hearts to hear, that you would grant us that discipline. We pray for our children, Lord, as it took us years to even hear of these things, that they in their tender years may now establish those disciplines which will put them in good stead throughout their lives. And may we grow in our faithfulness to these things. Lord, may we diminish those things which would distract, and may we enhance our efforts to understand by a diligent application of our minds and our hearts the truth of your word. And then, Lord, may we grow from grace to grace, experiencing the delights and the pleasures that at your right hand. May we grow to love you and to serve you and to enjoy you forever as we glorify you. And then, Father, we pray that in this new year also we might make you known. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals now to hymn 259. Father of mercies, in thy word what endless glory shines. Forever be thy name adored for these celestial lines. Hymn 259. Let's stand together as we sing.
Father of mercies, in thy word what endless glory shines. Forever be thy name adored for these celestial lines. Here may the wretched sons of want exhaustless riches find, riches above what earth can grant, and lasting as the mind. Hear the Redeemer's welcome voice, spreads heavenly peace around, and life and everlasting joys attend the blissful sound. Oh, may these heavenly pages be my ever dear delight, and still new beauties may I see, and still increasing divine instructor, gracious Lord, be thou forever near. Trust me to love thy sacred word, and you, my Savior, there.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.